You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood. Myopia Defend Your Childhood is so named because I believe we are short-sighted on the things we watched as kids. So every week we watch a movie that one of the panelists grew up watching and see if they hold up, from comedy to cartoons or to action. And for this season, the last Thursday of each month, we're doing a TV show in our Myopia Mornings segments. We watch Saturday morning cartoons and afternoon classics. So find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. How will you stand when we put your past on trial? Myopia Defend Your Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. Back to give you another week of sci-fi news. Plus, we have another gathering of the Symposium of Nerds, thanks to Lizard confirming that, who is actually coming back one more time to be on the show. So, hello, Lizard.
Hello, Monster.
And joining us in the second seat is Diana, a.k.a. Artemis, a.k.a. Duran. I don't know. What do you want to be called?
I'll just be D for today.
Just D.
She's the goddess of war.
The goddess of war. So, we have a couple of topics we're going to be talking about. We have Solo, the Star Wars trailer that was just released. We'll be talking about the new Conan TV series, as well as kind of like sci-fi news, but talking about real science with Elon Musk and the SpaceX that just happened over the week. And then we're going to be talking about the first episode of Altered Carbon and the Black Mirror episode USS Callister from season 4, episode 1. So let's get started with our first topic. The trailer came out, or at least the teaser came out over the Super Bowl, and then Monday we got the full trailer. So the word that I would say, my reaction is not over, not under, I'm just whelmed with the trailer. I was kind of happy to see
Danny's the old guy.
Thank you. Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. But the actor who is portraying Han Solo barely says anything, and he doesn't look anything like
Harrison Ford.
So I'm just wondering, maybe it's just me, and what are your reactions?
Well, yeah, it's you know, when you've been watching Star Wars since you're a kid and you're used to Harrison Ford as the man, it's hard for anybody to fill in those big boots of his. So he kind of had a look to him, but it's, yeah, I guess we'd have to watch it and see if he really has the swag of the Ford and, you know, if he can carry himself. I mean, sometimes the younger actors that want to portray a younger version, I mean, we have Anakin. I mean, the actor that portrayed him, he did a pretty good job. Not that I was into that second franchise of Star Wars, but, I mean, I'm a big Harrison Ford and Han Solo fan, so I'm in that wait-and-see mode right now.
Okay. I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I'm definitely in the wait and see mode. It was exciting to see, you know, them trying to delve into more of the past, into the earlier lives of the characters. But, you know, regardless, I'm excited either way. I can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah.
For me, Star Wars is just a thing. I mean, it's when I was a child, they took me to the movie theater for the first time and when Star Wars first came out. So definitely, you know, always a fan of Star Wars, no matter what. I'm excited to see it.
Okay. The only reference that I had in regards to performance was a clip that was from Hail Caesar, the Coen brothers, in which he has a Southern accent, and he's trying to say a certain line that the director sees. Repeat what I'm saying over and over again. And it's hysterical. But Han Solo is not necessarily jokey, funny guy.
No.
He could be sarcastic in that way, but...
And that's what we expect from Han Solo. We expect that sarcastic wit, you know, that type of sense of humor.
I'm just, again, a little worried with...
Can he pull it off?
Right. He said three words. I mean, I don't know if you remember Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, but River Phoenix played the young version of Indiana Jones, and I'm like, that's great. I'm actually kind of cool with that. But here I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't look anything or sound like him.
But, you know, on a similar note, like if you think about the last couple of Star Wars movies that have come out, they're sort of going off into different directions. And, I mean, it's not really, it's not what it what you think it might or what it should be, I guess, is a better way of saying it. So hopefully he's going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it's coming out in a couple of months anyway, so... But yeah, I expected it to be kind of like, oh, wow, this the trailer is like when we saw Phantom Menace, the trailer, not the movie, because we had nothing prior to that after Return of the Jedi. And then also The Force Awakens, everyone had these moments. I was just crying when Han Solo says, you know, Chewie, we're home. I didn't feel anything for this, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right, so let's move on to the Conan TV series. So since this is coming to Amazon, or at least in the works coming to Amazon, it's not that we haven't had a TV version of Conan the Barbarian, but I wanted to get your impressions about, do we even need to have a Conan TV series? Could they do it a la Game of Thrones with lots of gore and nudity like they do? Maybe that'll be something to attract viewers.
I think that would be the only way they're going to get viewers. I mean, the Conan is just, I don't really think that's going to be a big hit for a TV series. If they do it like Game of Thrones, okay, maybe. Maybe I could
maybe
see
like
it,
Game of Thrones, yeah.
You know, it kind of harkens back to, you know, we're talking about different characters and different actors playing these characters. So, you know, without Arnold, I don't know.
Well, in...
Or maybe.
Well, in 2011, Jason Momoa was Conan.
Right.
And that kind of didn't go anywhere, but he was big on Game of Thrones, and he's Aquaman. I don't think he'll be back to do Conan. He's got his own franchise.
The problem is that when you get fixated on a specific actor that typecasts a role, it's very hard to see anybody else in that role.
Okay.
So maybe that's why it didn't go. Or maybe just the whole script and the plot wasn't that great. I mean, the problem is Conan the Barbarian, every time you think that, you think Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's going to be hard for someone else to fill those kind of shoes. So I don't know.
Or boots, whoever.
Whatever.
But as far as the movies, did you ever watch them?
Oh, I saw Conan the Barbarian. Mm-hmm. You know, and I did enjoy it at that time because at that time it was, you know, it was a nice piece of work.
Right.
You know, it was worth watching. And, you know, but I didn't really see any of the TV series or the animated stuff that came out after that.
Okay. And you, Daniel?
I saw the movies, but that was so many years ago. I was a kid when I saw them. And back then, I mean, that was all of Arnold that we had when he... And it was all right, but I wasn't too much into those movies as much. I mean, so... But we can, you know, never know.
Corny, but a nice view.
There you go.
I would love to have seen... At least, you know how the movies would end with him sitting on a throne, much older Conan. I would love to see an older Conan book or a movie, per se, and just finally get us to the point where how did he become King Conan, that kind of thing. Maybe that will happen, but just part of that was Schwarzenegger. So I'm kind of disappointed if that's not what's going to happen. But I don't want to hear a narration. Back in my day, I got into the chopper as a young lad.
Get to the chopper.
Yeah, I don't want to see him doing that Wonder Years version, you know. I don't think it would work. But surprisingly, because Conan's been in production, or at least in the comics for a while, and I was doing some research, and I'm like, President Obama collects Conan books.
I was surprised to read that.
Wow.
Yeah. I found that very interesting.
So that's kind of amazing.
And I've only probably ever read like one Conan comic in my life.
Yeah, so. I think I own a couple, but nothing like I had a whole collection. Never like I got into it.
Right.
I think the whole fantasy sword and play, it's okay, but I'm more of the sci-fi guy. Mm-hmm. So unless you put Conan in space, although there is a comic book in which Conan went from the past to the present. So it's what if Conan was in the present and it came to the New York City blackout. So it's like 1977. So he's walking around with his loincloth with a sword around New York City. Of course, there's chaos everywhere, but that's as close as we'll get to that. Although I think Beastmaster did that storyline in one of their movies.
Oh, wow, Beastmaster.
I remember that. Blast from the past.
And that's a decent one, but it's... Animal. Yeah.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention about the Conan comics that I didn't know from your research was that Dark Horse actually had their own line of Conan comics, mm-hmm. which I'd be interested in seeing because I'm a big fan of the Dark Horse comic.
And I think I had to do research, but I'm sure it may be on Hoopla. Then you'll have those back issues, or at least an omnibus of massive collections of comics. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's not there.
I'd like to look back and see that. I'll have to check the library website.
Nice little plug there. All right, so let's go on to our last topic for the week, in which we're talking about Tesla, the Roadster that's floating out of space with Starman. Wow. And I'm like, what the hell is this all about? Until I got the
backstory. Guy has way too much money to burn.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
To be cool.
And that's the other thing. Just because you can do something.
Doesn't mean you should do something.
Like a lot of people are complaining that it's more trash on outer space. You know, what do we need more trash out there?
And the fact that it's supposed to, disintegrate after so many years.
Yeah.
Just due to the radiation.
But.
It's still cool that it's out there.
It looks cool, yeah.
And but I like the heavy metal reference.
Yeah,
to the movie. Big heavy metal fan.
That's the only thing. I was like, all right, I get what you're trying to do, and he was actually making it more realistic that we have a payload with the exact same amount of weight. This is what we can do. We can launch into space, and that's basically what's going to happen. Is that he's showing the government we can do this for super cheap. We got rockets relanding again. So this is something that's viable. But in the process, I forget which company, the Japanese company, is proposing to build in 2050 an elevator that goes up to space.
That just blew my mind. I could not believe that.
So, and they'll say, oh, how much is that going to cost for operation? Like $200 to transport the exact same materials through the elevator into space, as opposed to the rockets, which cost about $90 million every single time you launch. So,
is that realistic?
I don't know, because...
That sounds very...
And if it is, isn't it, you know, don't you think it's probably going to turn into something where who knows what they're sending up there? You know, adding more space junk?
Or considering how many times our elevators here break...
Yeah, stuck in the middle of the way.
We got to use the alternate elevator or take the stairs. I'm not going to carry that all the way up to the top.
Oh, my God.
But, it really kind of made me think about the whole idea about space travel, or at least growing up with the space shuttle, and how we haven't had those kind of something that captures the imagination from the public. I'm just wondering what your initial reactions about the whole new rockets now being a thing now for us.
I think that the fact that there's no government oversight and people can just kind of do what they want is kind of scary with everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to have NASA around doing that. I know that it was a lot of money and the government, you know, they couldn't budget the money for that. But it's kind of scary that any rich... the millionaire can just do whatever he wants. I mean, that comes to all these megalomaniacs out there that have a lot of money, that aka our president, that can think they can do whatever they want, and no one's kind of controlling that. So yeah, it's cool for them to be able to have the kind of money to do that, but then in the long run, I mean, what's to stop them from doing something worse or putting something out there that shouldn't be out there, or, you know, that can cause us harm? So I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was interesting too, in some of the research that you had about, you know, future plans to mine the asteroids for water. And I guess that, you know, sort of connects with that. But I'm wondering, other than just space exploration, I mean, what is the point?
Well, I'm thinking that the end process would be we need to get your ass to Mars.
But get people an alternate place to live when the Earth is no longer viable.
That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying that we need another place to go to. Right. So you need to then find out a way to get a base on the moon that you can actually use the polar caps or whatever ice that you can find. Use that as a base of station to then send people to Mars, because then you have low costs as far as traveling to Mars that way. But you have like a gas station in space, so to speak. So that's his end goal, is to have people travel to Mars. But I think he's just missing like a nice cat who will start petting, and then he'll just do $1 billion ransom. And yeah, then it's all fine and good for capitalism to take certain initiatives, but I think there's necessary evil in bureaucracy, because you don't want to impede, but then again, you kind of have to have checks and balances, and I don't think there is any checks and balances. Mm.
And I also found it interesting about the trajectory, you know, about how they thought it was going to be getting to a certain point, but it kind of went a little bit off course. For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure that with time, you know, maybe they can improve that technology. But, I mean, if they're trying to have a destination in mind and they can't pinpoint that, then how is that going to?
What's happening with our space station? Is that even, or that's...
It's still going on. But it kind of reminds me of, what's that movie? Oh, Capricorn 1. This is going back into the 70s. Capricorn 1 was a fictitious story about NASA faking the moon landing. And I think they also faked the Mars landing, because they were a bureaucracy. So they didn't have any interest other than making sure that they get money. And they wound up killing the astronauts. Oh, as wow. In they died. But then they were kind of being held captive. And one of them was played by O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
So back in the day, he escaped and he's doing what he does, run. But winds up being caught. So,
wow.
But it's one of those like, oh, this kind of sounds just like Capricorn 1 almost. But in this case, you know, NASA, unfortunately, is always getting the short end of the stick with funding, but that's because of our government and not because it's bloated.
Which is a real shame.
Yeah. But still, it's one of those, it's nice to have in our backyard, Cape Canaveral, having these kind of moments in which we can capture that imagination for this generation and the next one after that. I do remember when I lived in Orlando shortly that the space shuttle flew overhead, and I never experienced a sonic boom before. And it was like, shook the apartment that I was in, and it was just amazing to have that experience. But we don't have a shuttle anymore. So
very sad.
It is very sad. We just got a rocket ship.
Especially when my 4-year-old son says he wants to be an astronaut when he grows up. I'm like, okay.
Might not. Let's see if that,
I know.
I was like, well,
what happened to space camp?
Well, you just take an elevator to go up.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
That's all. Yeah, anyone can do that.
It's only 200. 200 a ride.
$2. All right. So let's go on and talk about our reviews of our first episode of Altered Carbon. So basically the premise is that Takeshi Jakubowicz? No, Jakubowicz. No.
Takeshi Kovacs.
Thank you. Was killed and he was put into a new sleeve with just a new body. But basically, his information about who he is been saved on this disk and basically inserted into a new body. He has still the old memories, and he's in a new body 300 years later. And he's actually been hired for someone to find out who killed him. So that's, in a nutshell, what that is. But it is very different than other sci-fi movies because it's dealing with a lot of different issues. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But what was your initial reaction to?
I loved it. I love the storyline. I love the graphics, the visual effects. The actor, the plot line, it was wonderful. I mean, there's probably more I can say to it, but my first impression was I was enthralled by it, and I wanted to keep watching it. I was almost going to binge watch, but I said, no, let me not do that, because then I'm going to get all the episodes confused, and I got to focus on the first one. So I held back.
Okay.
So, but it's a great show.
Okay.
I have to echo Miss Artemis's sentiments there, Miss D. I was pleasantly surprised with this. It was a lot more than what I expected. I got really wrapped up in it, and I was almost going to do the binge watch thing too. Mm-hmm. However, I had to watch the other show too. So. I really, really enjoyed it, and I would recommend it to any sci-fi fan. I love the premise of it. There is a lot going on, mm-hmm. But it's definitely worth watching. I'm definitely going to continue to watch that one.
Good. My impression is that when you're world building and you have different terms for whatever it is that thing is, that you get lost. And not for once that I felt like, I don't know what the hell is going on, you know?
Yeah.
But I was kind of on board almost right from the very beginning, and I love the whole kind of flashback to what he's been dealing with. And I hope that actor, the one who's playing the real Takeshi, is actually staying around so that we see him back. But it just seems weird that it's a whitewashing, but it's an Asian actor being replaced by a white guy. So one of the thoughts that I had is like, what is the essence of what makes you, you? And how you stave it onto a little disc? Mm-hmm. Is it your soul? Is that what's on that disc? Is it your memories? Is it your experiences? What is that that makes you, you?
I think it's a combination of all those things.
Okay.
I mean, it's your memories, but it's a part of, if you're a spiritual person, it's a part of your soul. I mean, because we are more than the body that we're in, I think. Right. And so I think they're trying to carry that over in the whole thing that they, you know, they save it. I mean, I don't know how you could save the whole essence of a human being on a disc, because we all have nuances. We all have we have quirks and all that. But it seems in the show, of course, they can do it.
Right.
But even though they say that, you know, once they re-sleeve you many times into new bodies, you kind of lose a little bit of who you are, and it starts kind of breaking down. And I think that's what happened with Takeshi, that, you know, he has those delusional moments where he doesn't know if those are memories of his from his past, or if it's something new that doesn't exist. It's everything's like mixed together. So because we're trying to get like an idea, because we need to find out who he really is. And I guess that's the whole premise of the show, that little by little we find out more about him and what he was. Was he a good guy? Was he a bad guy? You know, who is this person, and what did he do, and how did he get to this point? So, and I guess that's what keeps us, it feeds us. So, you know, you want to watch more because you get little tidbits of the people that he was around, this woman that he followed, and was it a possible love interest? What was going on with them? Because he sees her still, but that's more like, I don't think that was a memory, more like a delusional thing, because he's still talking to her. So mm-hmm. We don't know how much of it, like, is this real, is not real. So that's kind of keeps you on the edge, I guess.
Wow.
Okay.
Well said. I think it's, you know, I have to agree with you. It's, I think it's a mixture of your emotions, your memories, your soul, perhaps, you know, if you believe in that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was well represented. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Diana, I think you took the words out of my mouth.
I loved it. I love Joel Kinnaman. There, I said it.
Oh, Jesus.
Monty's going to have to edit a lot of this.
Sorry, it's the monster.
That. Oh, sorry, the monster.
Oh, you gave away his identity. Oh, no.
I don't use my real name.
Yeah. Great. You just set me up for failure. So I think that is one of the strongest components about what got me interested is the whole idea of being re-sleeved into a new body, which opened up kind of some thoughts that I had. It's like, well, would I would like, if I want to extend my life, to be into a female body or to a male body? Do I continue myself as being male? Or I would want to say, hey, I want to see what it's like to be a woman. What would be your option if you had...
Well, to tell you the truth,
girl.
I want to be a boy.
Things we find out. One day, Pinocchio, you will be a real boy.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what it is? It's not like a gender thing. I think it's more like because of the whole thing about men and women being so different and we think different and all of that. And I still am trying to decipher the male mind, even though I feel a camaraderie. We're like two separate entities. And I don't know. I mean, I really am curious about that, the way the male brain works. And I think to get an idea or at least an inkling of it would be awesome, I think.
I like that point. You know, now that you say that, I have to agree. You know, the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of thing. And, you know, that we do think differently and we do.
It's more girls are from Jupiter.
I love Jupiter.
Oh, no, you didn't. I think it would be interesting to, you know, to learn about that mindset of the other gender. But I still would like to be a girl.
Okay. But would that then change... If your mindset right now is of a woman, don't you think it'd still be a woman in a man's body? Not all of a sudden I get it what man is.
That is true, because if it's everything that makes up who you are,
right,
but you're just in a different sleeve, then you're really not going to get why men and women think differently or why, you know, the differences between us. So that is a good point.
So I'm just curious because I'm thinking of someone I used to be mentored by, she is now transitioning to being a man. So when I've spoken to her, now him, it's the exact same person, but just sounds like they have a cold. So it's a deeper voice. But I'm like, it's the exact
but
same.
But their essence is the same.
Right. So it's the exact mm-hmm. same person, even though that person is now transitioning to man. I'm like, but that doesn't change how I felt about them as a woman. So it's just kind of weird that I'm just wondering if that would feel different if you would just have that option to be into opposite gender. So it's one of those things I've had. But would you extend your life or would you just say one and done?
God, you know, I think that's hard because I think a lot of people when they're getting to the end of their life, you know, they're the woulda, coulda, shouldas, all the things you wanted to do. And, oh, I wish I could have had more time to do this. And you know, and I think that we all go through that. And I would probably go through that, too. But at the same time, I think that, you know, life is tough. And there's so many things. I mean, I'm not saying life isn't good and we experience things and we learn from things and we grow. But sometimes it's like you're kind of done and you just want to continue on your path into another realm or existence and all of that. And I've seen so many movies about stuff like that and read books about people, you know, the whole eternity and the Holy Grail mm-hmm. and living forever. And I forgot what movie it was because, you know, of all the movies I've seen, but people that have lived beyond their families, how sad would that be if all the people that you love die and you continue and then you have to keep revisiting this. It's like the whole thing with the vampires that were human once and they lost their whole family, but they continue, and they're still long in suffering. I think this was a reference to the show from HBO, True Blood. That vampire that was always depressed because he, Bill, was it Bill? Yeah. Because he lost his whole family, and now he's lonely, and he's trying to make sense of his life, but he doesn't want to get close to anybody because of that, because it's very sad. You keep living and people die around you, and it doesn't continue. So I would be kind of sad, you know. So I don't know if I would want to live forever or more than my life. I think that we have one life to live, and we have to enjoy it to the max and make the most memories out of it and then move on to wherever we're going. It's just me.
Well said. My God.
Sorry. Maybe you should go first next
time. No. I don't know if I can top that. For me, I don't think I would. I don't think I would. I think one time around is enough. As much as I, you know, the thought of not being here anymore, that's kind of a painful thought. And, you know, you worry about your children and, you know, the people that you leave behind. But like Miss Artemis was saying here, you know, watching the people that you love, you know, losing them along the way, but still continuing to live. I mean, maybe if they were able to come along with you, but I think it would get too convoluted. You know, I don't think it would be as important or as special as it is. You know, I think it's a unique thing that we have, you know, our moment on the planet. And I would not do that. I would not extend my life.
Mm. Well, as much as I would love to do this all over again, I would go with one extension at least. And everything that I did wrong, do it again.
You would do it again.
Fix it.
But right.
Differently.
Differently. And have more hair.
There you go. Make sure they put you in a nice sleeve with long, luscious hair.
Although that one moment, the girl that was put into the old woman's body, because that's all they had, and telling the parents, well, you know, if you want to pay for that upgrade and get the young body, that's up to you. But you get what you get. I'm like, oh, my God, that's messed up.
Yeah, that's messed up.
So, yeah, that's what, if I had the option of, like, randomness, that could happen to me. I'm like, no, I'll take my chances to just die.
Yeah, can we get to pick or choose the sleeve?
If you have the money.
But you got, oh, wait, it'll be $5 million, please.
Yeah, it's Elon Musk money.
All right. Back to me after your Tesla's in the sky.
All right, so let's move on to our second episode, or the second TV series we're going to review, which is going to be the Black Mirror episode for season 4, episode 1, USS Callister. So, this is basically, it's an anthology series, so there's no point not to watch everything, but you can just jump in any time to watch any of these episodes. And the first one that I saw, I'm not sure if you guys seen the first one, it has to do with the Prime Minister and his daughter.
Yes, I saw that one.
It has gotten kidnapped. So the premise is that I will release her based on what you will do to this pig on live TV. After that, I haven't had a reason to go back to watching Black Mirror.
No, they do actually get better. They're really good episodes.
I believe you. And after watching this episode of Callister, I'm just like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. So the basic idea is that it's a recreation of Star Trek and everything that we love about sci-fi. All in this one episode, but it's one man's fantasy turned into almost a cruel reality for him. So I'm wondering, what was your impression right off the bat of this episode? Let's start off with you.
Well, you know, I was kind of concerned at first because I hadn't seen any of the prior seasons. But like you said, I was able to, you know, it's not like I really missed anything. I was able to follow right away. My first thought was a little kitschy, a little corny on the Star Trek, you know, similarities between the characters. And definitely I thought it was... you know, I can understand his version of this virtual reality and why he did the things he did, even though it was somewhat cruel. but don't we all have that need? If we could just address it in that way. I did enjoy it. I would definitely go back and watch some more. But I enjoyed it.
Okay. So.
It was an awesome episode. It does bring you back to Star Trek and all those Trekkie episodes back in the past. Now, the whole premise of that episode, of what he does, I mean, I get that he's the nerd that can stand up for himself, and this is a way he takes his own issues out on other people at work, and it's very cruel, and it's kind of horrific at a point. You know, I mean, I know that the real people, the out there, they have no knowledge of it, but when you see how they're suffering, I'm kind of in disagreement with that. I don't think that's right. Because I mean, it's like a bullying kind of thing, where it's like reverse bullying kind of thing. You know, like he is not treated right at work, so he just kind of takes it all out on these people, in this other dimension, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. But it's a great episode. I mean, the way they did the characters and the blue girl and it was very retro and. Campy, but fun, because it's like, you know, you reminisce about how things were in the past, right. And you know, the old episodes. So I mean, I really enjoyed it, and the whole show is great. I've seen most of the episodes, and they're all so different, but they've all got specific, unique things about them that make them really stand out.
I think the first 5 minutes, I so sympathize with Daly, because. You know, we all want to escape from reality from time to time and have a fantasy that I'm like, I would like to do that too. Mm-hmm. And then you find out, oh, mm-hmm. He's doing this kind of like for the wrong reasons.
It started out fun.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, I get that. But then he does really mean stuff. And I think the moment that he... uses, I forgot the guy's name, but his son.
Walton?
Yeah, as a device saying, well, guess what's going to happen to you? I'm going to do it to yourself.
Yeah, and that was horrible.
And spaces, and puts him in space. That was really cruel and unusual. And, of course, he gets to do that as many times as he wants, because there's no one there to stop him. So if we had this technology today, that you could have your... squad, if you wanted, who would you want to have as part of your squad?
What you mean, like to take things out on?
No. Like if you had, and we're using this in a good way. If you wanted to have any celebrity, of course you can't use someone who's dead because you have to collect
their. Okay, Keanu Reeves.
I'm gonna go with Viggo Mortensen.
With or without the beard.
Either way is fine.
Okay. Now, Viggo, like from Lord of the Rings, Viggo, or like, what was that horse movie?
What was
movie?
That Russian movie where he was the Russian mobster?
I don't remember that.
Oh, I don't remember the name of it now.
I'll take him any which way.
Okay.
With beard, too. Without beard. Although the Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Okay. But you can also get Bill and Ted, Keanu Reeves, too.
No, I'm more looking like at the John Wick kind of guy. Yeah.
So the older versions.
The older versions of Keanu, yeah.
Okay.
The more stoic version.
Maybe we could have Martha Stewart. She could be fun.
You can bring her in there to cook for everybody.
Yeah, she can
make delicious and, dinners and do her little crafty stuff.
And we know that she has a little bit of a dark side, so
she's out of prison time. She's hard on.
This counts for her.
That'll be awesome.
Who
so
else?
I won't reveal my answers on the air.
Let's hear it.
No, there
Come
isn't.
Come on, Monster.
No. There's a long list.
I just can't. All those tricky actors from the past.
Oh, they have to be alive. That's the only thing. But again,
let's just choose one because poor Leonard Nimoy's gone. And yeah, he would have been pretty awesome.
He would have, but that wouldn't be my choice.
Was it William Shatner?
Oh, no. I could go with Shatner. He's still all right.
Which part?
Well, he's got a good sense of humor.
Oh,
let's
my
just
God,
go with that.
Funny.
Okay. You got to have some comedy relief.
Yeah, and if you can have a combination of someone who you find attractive and they can make you laugh, that's a bonus.
Indeed. So.
But yeah, you're not going
to
get
You know
answer.
Who I would love to have, but yeah. as like my friend, like my soul sister, because she's great, she's funny, she's quirky, she's a tough mother, Jennifer Lawrence. I would love her.
Well, okay.
Okay.
So with that kind of technology that's kind of still advanced, do you think this technology, once we do achieve it, would enhance life or be another detriment to society? Because considering how we have, like yesterday, I was at the desk and seeing kids on the phones and their parents are right there, but they're just so disengaged from each other within 5 feet.
I think it would just lend more to that. I think it would probably be detrimental.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
You're disconnected from
because,
reality.
Yeah, you just, it's like you said, you see so many people walking around now with just their, you know, head down, facing the phone, really not paying much attention to anything that's actually going on around them, even walking into people.
Well, if life was a lot better, then we wouldn't need that kind of technology.
That's true. But there are other ways.
There are other ways you can entertain yourself.
Get sleeved.
I mean, I think it's something that's probably inevitable. I think technology is headed that way already. I mean, if you think about how different kids are now compared to the way we were when we were kids, mm-hmm. You know, and that's just going to continue to progress in that way. Technology is really a ruling factor in their lives, you know?
But it's like a vicious circle because kids tend to gravitate towards technology and phones and all that because they feel lonely or they don't have as many friends. But then as they do that, they become more isolated and have less friends, and it's all virtual friends and not real.
Yeah, and they can't open up
so
in reality.
So it's like, how do you get them back to being real with people and talking to people? And that's my issue with my kids. And I think it's probably an issue with a lot of parents our age that have
Definitely.
Young kids that they don't know how to interact with the world. They don't have interpersonal skills. They don't know how to talk to each other. I mean, you're there. You have a whole bunch of teens in a room, utter silence. They're talking, but what are they on their little? They're talking to each other through their phones or their tablets,
right? Rather than
physically
face to face.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's horrible. I think that's horrible. I'm a talker, as you can tell, and I love to talk.
We'll never have guessed it.
You can't just do conversation texting. It's just not the same thing. And the intonation, everything, the out of context thing is just, it's not the same
thing. And it's like they're more comfortable with communicating with someone that it's not face to face. It's more awkward for them to actually have to talk to someone face to face, to talk to their parents, to talk to their friends, to talk to their teachers, whatever the case may be. But they're more comfortable, you know, sending a text message or an email or something like that. Because they don't have the face-to-face thing.
And getting back to that show and relating to what we're talking about now, about Daly, I think that's his problem. He's so techie and so computerized that he just doesn't know how to relate to the world. He doesn't know how to talk to the world. And what does he do? Instead of trying to face it, he just reverts into a game. And that's how he deals with the reality of his life.
It's like regression.
And it's very sad because the opportunity came for him to interact with a new person that actually liked him as a person, and he just ruined it. You know, this girl actually liked him, not because he was attracted to him, but she liked him because of who he was. And instead of taking that to the next level and trying to talk to her and forming a friendship or whatever, what does he do? He just subverts her, sticks her into the machine.
Yeah,
and
he steals her DNA. And
he didn't have to do that because she
DNA.
Actually really liked him. And
yeah.
What, you know, so there's a lot to say about that. That I think he isolated himself. Completely. I mean, you see Christmas Eve. What was he doing? Playing with a game instead of having family, friends over, whatever. So, just saying.
No, I totally agree. I mean, anytime that my family goes out, especially just the four of us, I try to say, you know, no devices, we're here to talk, entertain ourselves with some great food and have great conversations. So let's put the phones down. So it's at least we have that kind of moment. When it's not a formal dinner or whatever with guests, fine, you can do whatever you want, but at least try to encourage that kind of interaction, because that's so important to have at times. And it can be also isolating too. Even in a room full of people here in this library, we're all not on the same page. We're all going to be still disconnected from each other, but hopefully, as a younger generation, we'll realize that that's not the way this should be. But unfortunately, they're just kind of stuck in that mindset.
It's not really their fault, though.
No.
Damn technology.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook also is a problem, too. And just anything else that we have, and whatever that may be the next thing, will just keep on compounding the problem. So,
yeah. I believe in anti-social media.
How does that work, Lizard?
You just don't do it.
No, it's true. You're not on Facebook.
No Facebook, no Twitter, no nothing. I don't participate in any of that. It's just, you know, for me, like on that note, I've had family members who've, you know, they're all over Facebook and everything, and it's great to keep in touch. You know, it's great for good reasons and for the right reasons, but a lot of times it ends up turning into something negative and convoluted, and there's misunderstandings. It creates arguments. People post things that shouldn't be said. You know, it's I don't believe in putting my life out there like that.
Right. I think a lot of people need validation that they don't get from their real life, so they try to get it from strangers online, and that's again the sad thing.
Yeah.
That we don't know how to interact with the real world, so we go on this, because it's so much easier when you don't have the person in front of you to say things that you know, you have more, you're braver, you have more courage, but it's fake courage, because it's better to, I think, say it to their face.
Yeah. And then you don't know what's on the other end either, or really they don't know what's on your end. Anyone can say anything.
I mean, you would think daily, for the bravado that he had in his own world, if he ever used that in the real world, this would not be an issue.
No, it wouldn't.
Exactly.
So it's just an interesting mix of...
But there are a lot of people that are like that. You know, I've had that encounter when meeting people online, that they can say a lot of stuff in a chat, but then when they meet you in person, it's a whole other story. So I'm like, so that's why I like talking to people face to face. I'm like, talk to me the way you're supposed to talk to me. Don't give me all this, feed me all this BS through a chat, you know?
Exactly.
All right. So that actually is coming to an end for our podcast, because we're running out of time. But before we go, want to talk about what we are currently reading or watching, just to let everyone know what we're doing. So I'll start off with myself. Sadly, I wanted to see this video for the longest time. It's the Batman versus Two-Face. This is the last DVD animated movie for Adam West before he passed away. So he gave his voice, and we got this second DVD of the classic Batman from the 60s, which I loved the live action. But halfway through, it's like, I'm not really digging this. This is just too painful. And it's not that it's not funny, but I'm just like, I'm just not in the right mindset for some reason. Like at one point, Batman and Robin were arguing. And then Adam West, in his Adam West voice, says, I never thought I would have to say this to you. Robin, go to your room. And I'm like, boy. So I kind of, thank God I didn't buy it. I checked it out from the library, but I was really disappointed by that. Because normally DC stuff is great, but I just think that because his Batman is not the Batman that we all know from the comics or from the movies, he's more campier, but they drew the exact same light blue eyebrows on the cowl, so it's just... Some things don't translate to a different medium. So, sadly, that's what I've watched. Anything you want to add?
Still watching Star Trek Discovery. Mm. Enjoying that immensely. Can't get enough of that. But I do believe it may have been the season finale, the last one.
No, no, we're coming up tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow's season.
Kind of lose track of these things.
That's okay. Which my co-host, Mr. Gene, will be back to do the season one review of Star Trek Discovery as well as Tony, which we're trying to coordinate the dates, but he's going to be watching the premiere or the early screening of Black Panther. So that's up in the air.
Excellent.
So what about you, Artemis?
I'm like I said, I'm trying to get through my Alter Carbon because that's my thing now. So I got through episode 2, going to episode 3. Also, I'm still looming with the Game of Thrones midway through. I think I'm in season 5. I know how to finish. It's just that, you know, you start watching that, something else comes up, someone recommends a movie, someone recommends a show, and then you fall off tangent there. So me and my ADD, I'm all over the place sometimes. But but yeah, I'm going to try to get through that. I want to because I love it. And we'll see. I mean, like I said, I want to see the Alter Carbon. I'm waiting on Netflix to come out with the OA, the second season, because the first season was amazing. I don't know what's going on with that, if they're going to release it or not. But yeah, I'm always looking out for new Netflix shows and stuff.
Okay. And on the note of Alter Carbon, the only thing the library owns through Hoopla is the audiobooks. We don't actually have the actual physical books. So I'm going to have to make that correction and get some books in.
Get some books.
Oh, I'm also reading some Elmore Leonard, one of my favorite authors.
Oh, although I love him.
You know, of course, another tragic person passed away, but some of the best books I've ever read. So I've been going back and rereading some of those.
Oh, cool. All right, so unfortunately, this is the end of our podcast. The next Symposium of Nerds won't be until late March, in which we're going to be talking about Krypton, the first episode of Krypton from the Sci-Fi Channel, which we shall see how that turns out to be. But in any case, so on that note, thank you guys, both of you, for being my guests.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Artemis.
So let us know your thoughts and how can you do that. Just simply email me anything, seriously, at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts, your comments, anything. No kidding. Please.
We want to know.
We want to know anything. So on that note, thank you for listening to us on the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.